chapter 1, and we'll continue our study through the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be focusing on tonight just verses 13 through 15. Verses 16 through 18 I want to try to cover next week. Now, what I'm going to do is at the end of each chapter, like we did back in the book of Philippians, I'll give you a little test to go over. I'll give it to you in advance. And it's nothing I'm going to take up. It's just a review so that you can think about the different things that we studied. So after next week, if the Lord grants us life here, then we'll hand that out next week. So I think you'll like, as we do the different studies through the different books of the Bible, 2 Timothy. And then, of course, remember on Sunday evening, we're doing the book of Colossians. Both those are excellent books. So I ask you to try to come to them all, and I'll do the same thing with Colossians. I'll get at the end of each chapter, we'll give you a little study guide, and then we'll go over it. That way we'll learn and grow more in the Scriptures. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's how God's people grow. You got to be fed the Word of God. We live in a unique time, I think, because we live in a time when we have the full, complete Word of God. Isn't that something? It's not always been true in history. And we each have our own copy of the Bible. And that's another amazing thing in history. Many times people didn't have but pieces of the Bible. And God has seen fit that we would have a completed book, Old and New Testament. And we need to thank God for that every day, and we need to read in that every day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 through 15 is all we're going to cover. I don't want to go into the next section, 16 through 18, till next week. I want to kind of focus on this man that's mentioned here, Onesiphorus, a great man of God. We're going to do an extra study with regard to him, okay? So let's go ahead and look at verse 13. It says, let's go ahead and read our text. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the great blessings that you've given us here. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this message this evening. And we pray that the unction of the Holy Spirit be granted. And we pray that you'd come in this service and grant us the ability to teach and grant the people a hearing ear, that perhaps through this message they might grow. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. All right, now we're going to entitle this message, CD Man, we're going to title it Hold Fast to Sound Words. Hold fast to sound words. And that comes from verse 13. The idea of the word sound, I looked that up for you. Sound words are words that are free from error. That's what it means. I use that word a lot. Sometimes people want to come here and preach, or I'll question about a church, and I'll say, are they sound? Are they sound? That's a question I ask a good bit. Like I said, if someone wants to come and preach, and if they, you know, if somebody knows them that I know, I'll ask them, are they what? Are they sound? You want someone preaching behind the pulpit, that is what? They want to be sound. And sound carries the idea of being free from error. Free from error is the idea of it. True and uncorrupt. It's also used for the term sound health. So you can get the idea of what it's talking about. We want to make sure that whoever preaches from the pulpit is sound. You want to hear what kind of doctrine? Sound doctrine. For as sure as there's sound doctrine, there's also doctrine that is corrupt. So you got to make sure that people that preach, people who teach, you want to make sure that they're what? You want to make sure that they're sound. And the idea of that is to be free from error. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's go back a little bit. We're showing you the need of having sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and these are still problems we have down to the day. Timothy is, Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1 Timothy, and he's warning Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, now can I ask you a question? You think we're in the latter times? There's no doubt. The script book of Hebrews says he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We've actually been in the last days for 2,000 years. The next thing on God's agenda is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are definitely in the latter stages of the last days. There's no doubt about that. So he says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, which is the times we're living in today, I believe, some shall depart from the what? From the faith. And to depart from the faith is to depart from the truths of the Word of God. They'll just let the truth go. And there's different reasons why people do that. If you're not careful, you'll lose your focus on what churches are for. The purpose of the Lord's churches is to carry the commission, isn't it? To make disciples, to administer the ordinances, and to teach God's people God's word. That's the purpose of a church. The churches are not to be entertainment centers. That's not what it's all about. Though I find God's word entertaining, I enjoy listening to God's word, and I enjoy listening to good biblical singing. But in many places, what's happening is people are pushing out the scriptures. They're pushing them out. So they go another route with them, and, well, they really don't go another route with the scriptures, but they take another route, and it's more singing, and it's testifying, and they push out the word. Well, the Spirit, I've heard this for years, and it's been done here before, because I've been here a long time. Well, the Spirit took over. Word of God wasn't opened. I never did understand that. Since the Holy Spirit authored the Word of God, and the Spirit took over when the Word of God was shut, that didn't make no sense to me, and still don't make no sense to me. The Holy Spirit works through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. All God's people say it. The Scripture says all Scripture is given by, in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness' sake. Why would you push that out? I don't know, but it's happening everywhere. So we need to hold fast to what? We need to hold fast to what kind of words? Sound words. Healthy words. Words that are free from error. Words that are not corrupt. Very important that we do that. Let me read the rest of this. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in latter times some shall depart from the what? Depart from the faith. That's the truth of words of God. And they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Doctrines of devils or demons. And these are false teachings. These are false doctrines. And it says it's going to happen when? In the latter times. Has it happened? Yeah, it is happening. It's getting more difficult to find a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, isn't it? More and more and more, it's getting more difficult to find. Notice what else it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created and received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So let's go back to our text. So, back to 2 Timothy. So we're to hold true to sound word. Hold fast to them. Don't let them go. Don't let them go. So he said, hold fast, verse 13, 2 Timothy 1. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Who taught them sound words? Who taught them sound words? Paul did. He was a teacher. Of course, Jesus did too. He was behind the scenes through the Holy Spirit working that thing out. Hold fast the form of sound words. Notice what he says, which thou hast heard of me. Timothy was a young preacher, and he had a mother. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where we're at, He had a mother and a grandmother that was godly. Did any of y'all have a godly grandmother that taught you the scriptures? Oh, that's a glorious thing to have. And notice what it says in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. What's unfeigned mean? Unpretended. It's real, in other words. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother. The faith dwells first in his grandma, Lois. And then in his mother, Eunice. It was first in his grandmom, then it was in his mom. Kind of passed it down a bit. Now he says, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. So see how that passed it down? Timothy had a great teacher in the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul entrusted a lot of deeper truths to him, but he was originally taught by his grandmother and his mother. And that's what grandmothers and mothers and parents should do with regard to their children. What is the most important thing with regard to our children? We want them to be saved, don't we? We want them to have eternal life. We want them to have a home in the Father's house. We want them to have victory over death. I do think that this success thing has went to people's head in a wrong way. We want our children to be successful, and by that we mean well-educated, have a good job, have plenty of money, have a good retirement. These are things that we want. We want that. I want that for my children. But beloved, with the expense of not having Christ, I don't want that. I want them to put the place the spiritual over the material. And do y'all feel the same way about it? I want them to put the spiritual and the eternal over the temporary, because those are the things that's important to me, and that should be important for you. You that are mothers, you need to be like the mothers that we mentioned a little while ago. Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice, what did they do? The faith dwelt first in them. Now, it doesn't say a whole lot about Timothy's dad, and all it says about Timothy's dad is that he was a Greek. That's all it says. In other words, he wasn't a believer. He wasn't the one that instructed him. His mother and his grandmother had an impact on Timothy. They would have taught them about the Lord. They wanted him to have eternal life. So it's great to have a godly mother. And it's great to have a godly grandmother. All God's people said. That'll tell you about the Lord, buddy. They'll let you know it, and they want you to know it because they want you to have the main thing. It's sad. It's sad that children today are pushed so far in all these different pursuits of life that on the day that they die will not amount to nothing. Not amount to nothing. Whenever, I've said this a billion times, but whenever someone passes, you don't talk about money. You don't talk about their cars or their home. Now, someone maybe worldly would. But all we really is important on the day that someone passes is whether or not they're saved. And what I want for my children and my grandchildren is I want them to know Christ, don't you? I want them to have eternal life. I want them to go to heaven at the end of their days. You're not successful if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. You're just really not. So, well, of course, we say that a lot. It needs to be said a lot, though. It needs to be said a lot, okay? So he says, hold fast to the form of sound words. Sound words are, the idea of sound words are words that are true and words that are not corrupt, uncorrupt. That's what sound words are. And you want to hear a preacher that preaches sound words. If you teach a class, you want to have a teacher that teaches sound words. If you're a parent, you're a teacher. You want to teach your children sound words. Because that's what they need. And the eternal things is what matters the most. So it first dwelled in his grandmother, then in his mother, and now it dwelled in Timothy. Kind of pass that thing down the line. Have y'all ever beheld that in a family before? It is something to behold. maybe the Lord saved the grandfather back here, and then he saved some of the kids here, and it just passed it right on down, one to the other. Now, I realize you can't pass it through the bloodline, but the influences of a saved mother and father can be great in a family. Y'all agree? The influence of a saved father and a saved mother can have a great influence upon children. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's what? Old. He won't depart from it. Buddy, when you train them when they're little, there's just something that sometimes sticks down in here. And I've seen people come back to it. And it's always the great hope when someone's been trained young, there's always the great hope that all those teachings will come back in latter stages of life. You want them to come back in the, you know, well, they're younger if possible, and it is possible if the Lord works that way. But there's always the hope that they'll come back in the what? In the latter stages, because they've been taught better and they know better, okay? Hold fast to sound words. Is that a command or an option? It's a command. Hold fast. Don't let it go. You could let go some teaching and you could gain some more people. Did you hear what I just said? I could let go some teaching here that some people don't like. But it would be letting go Bible teaching and sound doctrine. And you can't do that. You can't cave in or compromise sound scripture. I won't do it. I will not do it. I won't cave in over anything along that line. If it's scripture, we're going to teach it, preach it, and live it. All God's people say it. Amen. We must do that. We must do that. We must be true to the scriptures. Okay? Let me go back to 1 Timothy 4. I want to read a little bit more on that one text. I left it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what? Faith. We didn't talk about that. Giving heed to what kind of seducing spirits? What's a seducing spirit? Certainly not the Holy Spirit, is it? So if it's not the Holy Spirit, it would have to be demons. The Bible speaks of doctrines of devils. You look at it in verse 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's the truths of the Word of God. Giving heed, rather, to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Demons. They're not true doctrines, they're false doctrines. You heard me say a million times before that the devil is never so dangerous as when he carries the Bible. He uses it to deceive. Remember, he sought to use it against Jesus in the temptation of Christ. Remember that? Yea, hath God said, he said three times, quoted Old Testament scripture. Remember it? So he's dangerous when he carries the Bible. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot... What's a conscience that's seared with a hot iron? It's someone that has no conscience to sin. They sin so much that it don't bother them no more. Let me give you an example. You can... when you're close to Jesus, you got a tender conscience. Y'all agree? When you're close to Jesus, you got a tender conscience. Things bother you, see? But if you wound your conscience by going ahead and doing it anyhow, Larry, if you keep doing it anyhow, that sensitivity, you lose that spiritual sensitivity a bit. In other words, the third time you do it, it won't bother you near as bad as the first time you did it. And after a while, if you continue to do that sin, you know what will happen? It won't bother you at all. It won't bother you at all. Right, it'd be a habit. Just something you do and you don't have no conscience. People do it all the time. So he says, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So let's go back to our text. So what we need is good, sound doctrine. And that's what he's speaking of here. He says, hold fast, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, which is Paul, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the results of sound words is faith. One of the results of hearing sound words is faith. You see that in verse 13? What is faith? How are you saved? You're saved by faith. And if you hold fast to sound words and deliver the truth of the gospel to people, the result of that many times is faith, people believing. That's why he tells you to hold fast to it. Keep preaching the word. Keep preaching the gospel. Hold fast to it. Don't cave in and teach false gospels. Preach the true gospel. And he said that you have heard of me. The Apostle Paul, where did Paul get the gospel at? Y'all remember? Who did he get the gospel from? He got it straight from Jesus. So that's why he's saying here, hold fast to the sound words, which he's talking about the gospel, which thou hast heard of me. And Paul heard it direct from Jesus, and that's what the message that Paul preached for salvation. And he says, in faith and love. In faith and love, faith in Christ. And when you have faith in Christ, then what else do you have? You have love for Christ. Faith in Christ, love for Christ. That's the fruit of being born again, isn't it? Faith in Christ and a love for Christ. Verse 14. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. It says the good thing, verse 14, the good thing which was committed unto me, unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in us. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know what that good thing is? That good thing is the gospel. The gospel message. He said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, and that good thing is the gospel message. Who taught Timothy the gospel? I think his mom and his grandma did. But I also think the Apostle Paul, he refers to him as his son in the faith. I think he was probably saved under Paul's ministry. And the good thing that was committed unto Timothy was the gospel message. It's being committed unto him. What do you do with the gospel? Well, we're to deliver it to other people. If you're here tonight and saved, you know the gospel. And the gospel has been committed not only to me, but the gospel is also committed unto everybody that's here that's born again. And we are to carry that message, and we are to share that message with other people. It's a big deal. God saves through the means of preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We got to deliver the message. That's what that good thing is that he's referring to here in this text. He said, hold true to the form of sound words, but then he goes on to say, the good thing which I committed unto you, keep. Keep it. Stay true to it. Don't get away from it. Let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 1. This is a text that I've read many times to you too. Book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. Paul talks about this good message, this message that he received from the Lord here in Galatians chapter 1. He said, I certify, Galatians 1:11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. See, Paul's different than us. He said, for I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we can't say that, really. I was taught the gospel from somebody else. My mom taught me the gospel. Dick Liptrap taught me the gospel. Many teachers, Brother Hollis taught me the gospel. Many people taught me the gospel. I heard the gospel from a man. You might have heard the gospel from a woman. Maybe it was your mother that taught you the gospel. So we heard the gospel from someone. But Paul was altogether different. He said in verse 12 of Galatians 1, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave him the gospel direct. Direct. He received it by revelation. Notice what it says in verse 13. For we have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure we persecuted the church of God and wasted it, profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, but when it pleased who? God. Pleased who? God. Was Saul of Tarsus going around searching for Jesus? No, he's going around searching for Jesus' people to put them in jail. But when it pleased God, now, when did, well, let me read the text. But when it pleased who? God, this is Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Who did it please? Who did it please? It pleased God to do it. And he said that he separated Paul from his mother's womb. We noticed last time we was here, and we can see that in the book of Acts, that he was said to be a chosen vessel unto the Lord. And God appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Remember, he struck him down on the road to Damascus, and he saved his soul. And it wasn't according to his deeds. It because, verse 15, because it pleased God to do so. So the gospel, let's go back to our text, has been entrusted. It has been entrusted to us. And that's what he's speaking of here in 2 Timothy. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words that you've heard of me. In faith and love which is in Christ, now verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. What is that good thing? It's the gospel. Keep it. Hold on to it. Tell it to other people. Share it with other people. Remember, the gospel message is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Everyone that believes. Very important that we do that. Okay. Let's move on to verse 15. We'll stop with verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygelius and Hermogenes. This is a sad thing. I got ready to go 16 through 18 and finish chapter 1 tonight, but decided against it because I wanted to focus on verses 16 through 18 by itself. But what had happened, what was happening in verse 15, you look how bad this is. You got to consider at this time where Paul's at. He's by himself, Larry. He's in a Roman prison. He's in a Roman prison. They were usually kept dark. They smelled. It's a horrible place to be. He never knew where he's going to live or die, but when you get to the end of 2 Timothy, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. So he realizes that he is going to die. He realizes that. And now on top of that, the churches of Asia turn against him. Wouldn't that have been rough? We, in Revelations 2 and 3, remember when we was in Revelations with the seven churches of Asia. So here it says, this knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Then it names Phygelius and Hermogenes, I think is how you say it. These two particular men that they had turned away from him. That breaks a pastor's heart. That breaks a pastor's heart. He would have put a lot of work into the people of Asia or different places that he went to. And to have people turn their back on him would have indeed broke his heart. It does. It's a sad thing. Others did it. Sometimes people make professions of faith and then they turn away. Have y'all seen it? Have y'all ever seen it happen? They make professions and they do good for a while and they're involved. And as fast as they come, what do? They go. Do you remember a parable that teaches that? It's called the parable of the sower. Two out of the three that make professions walk away. According to Luke 8 and the parable of the sower, they get preoccupied with other things. They get preoccupied with other things. They get involved with other things. Two out of the three that make professions of faith walk away. And that's what's happening here. And it would have broke his heart. So on top of being in prison, on top of being in chains, he's alone in a prison. And then thou knowest that all which are in Asia be turned away from me. See, that's personal. They turned away from him. It wasn't nothing to do with it. Why they did that? What caused that? I don't know, but sometimes it happens. That's why I said whenever it does happen, it breaks a pastor's heart. That's why we must keep focus on Christ and the mission. A pastor must always do that. A church must do that. Keep focus on the mission. Okay? This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. It says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he hath often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my what? Chain. What does that tell you? It means he was in a chain. Not only was he in prison, a dark dungeon, not only did he face death, but he was in a chain. And now while he was there, all of these were forsaking him. I figured, Mike, they probably felt like he was poisoned, don't you imagine? I mean, here's someone the Roman government had elected him, had arrested him, and I probably was afraid that if they had anything to do with him, that it might cause them to get in trouble. So everybody forsook him, except for this one man that's mentioned in verse 16. And that's who we're going to look at next week. We're not going to look at him tonight. He went out of his way to comfort Paul. Only one that I read in this book that did. He went out of his way to go to him in order to be a comfort for the apostle Paul. And that's what he did. That's what he did. That's what we're going to look at next week. So what was the message title tonight? Hold fast to sound words. Keep the church sound. To have sound words, you got to have sound preachers. To have sound words, you got to have sound churches. People that know the truth of the Word of God and stand for the truth of the Word of God. Because if you let the truth go, what's going to happen? It'll cease to be a church. Now, it might continue to have services and singings and revivals and everything. But if you lose the truths of the Word of God, you'll lose your church. All God's people say it. Thank you for your attention.